looking at the rising billions, disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Rich.
Hi, it's Christopher Gumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, you're in the house.
Alan's in the house. Alan's having a good morning. Chris, how about yourself? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. I'm on daddy duty, and daddy duty requires me to drop the boys off, pick the boys up, and, you know, crush it in between, which, you know, I really enjoy, to tell you the truth, Alan, because I think we can get a lot done, you know, in a 5 hour to 6 hour time frame. Certainly working, you know, quietly on my own and, you know, just reflecting on, you know, what I have to do, breaking it down from, you know, my 90 day swing down to my weekly review and reflection. And then, you know, what have I accomplished? What worked well? What do I need help on? You know, all these types of things. And I have to say it's been going really well.
And, well,
and yourself.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you've got a young family, and you know, balancing that it can be an art, but I think the art's in the commitment, like you had said, and being able to really, you know, have time where, you know, uninterrupted time, if that's at all possible, to be able to focus. And, you know, we don't have to focus 8 hours a day. Very few people can focus 8 hours a day. Actually, I don't think most people can focus more than 90 minutes at a time without needing a break or changing their thought process and so forth, and back to the creative and the relaxing and the releasing piece. So I think that's great. I'm glad you got that balance. And I know that you and I have talked about that a lot. And, you know, that's always a big topic with our guests, is how are they actually doing what they're doing. And, you know, it's a nice thing. I'm doing good. I wasn't feeling so hot yesterday, but came off a great weekend with about 500 other people from the Northwest. We met at a Young Life camp, and it was a retreat for leaders. Youth leaders, adult leaders, and committee and board people to talk about the vision and the focus for Young Life in the Northwest for the next year. And that was really great. It was awesome information, awesome team building and goal setting. The challenge was I didn't sleep very much. And so I'm paying for that. But that's okay. It was a very worthwhile effort. And I'm excited about what I'm going to be able to help with through that rollout this next year. So it's been great, but I, like you, I'm glad to get back in the trenches here and continue on with what we're doing and talk with our guests today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got a great guest today. And that sounds fantastic, what you're up to, Alan, and, you know, contributing and giving back is I know what helps you raise that vibration and that frequency. And certainly today, and I can't wait for you to introduce him, so I want to get right into it. You know, that's what he's doing, and he's sharing, and he's, you know, got a really great thing happening. Had a little time to do some research, and I can't wait to dive into some of the questions that I have for our guest today. But why don't we just get started, and let's roll.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, we're fortunate. We're getting some, we have had and continue to have, and will continue to attract, I think, some great entrepreneurs. And today's guest is by no exception. young man. And then again, I guess everybody's young compared to me, so maybe that's not as as much of a compliment as maybe it might be. But he's an international speaker, and he's a conscious entrepreneur. And I want to talk a little bit more about that with him today as we get going. And he's a catalyst for transformation in people's lives. And he's got a couple of really unique things going on, a couple of ventures that we're going to dive in and find out where his genius is in these two ventures and what he's doing. But he's the founder of Both Sides of the Kitchen Table, and talking with families about self-destructive behaviors. But he's working with families that are high-performance families. And I want to, I can't wait to dig in to find out why that is the grit of what he's doing. But he's also got a completely on the other side of the whole pendulum here, the Moderation Institute. He's the founder of that. And what he and a doctor and a group of people are working on at the Moderation Institute is talking about change, changing the way society not only sees substance abuse, but how to actively make a program and create a philosophy and create a platform to where the success rate grows from, you know, the typical 10 to 15% success rate in the industry to 80%. And that's through modern evidence-based approach to really understanding, and I'm not doing a very good job at this, and he's going to have to really excuse my inadequacies here, but talking about substance abuse and shaking it on its head, turning it 360 and coming out with a platform and a process that really does create a great deal of success to the end user. So with that being said, our guest today, Bradley Kalau. Hello. Welcome.
Hey,
to the,
hi.
I knew I was going to do that wrong. I'm sorry, buddy. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Bradley Kalau. It happens. It happens. It's good to be human, as I like to say.
I even spelled it phonetically on my page, and I still got it wrong, so I apologize, bud.
Like I said, good to be human, and thank you, gentlemen, for having me. And I love what you said, because you said something about raising the vibration. And a big thing that I talk about with people is this idea that making money and helping people does not have to be mutually exclusive. And you can see that within the companies that I choose to spend my time with. You know, I'm really trying to raise that vibration and that conscious entrepreneur. What can we be doing to contribute and help people while at the same time being able to make a living for ourselves? And that's certainly something I've embraced and enjoyed doing, and seen a huge shift in my life once I moved away from this idea that money was everything. My life, it just seems like the doors keep opening as I've started to focus more and more on other people.
I love that. And, you know, Bradley Kalau, I got it right. just a little dig there, Alan, because we always do that. You know, Bradley, you know, at such a young age, you know, you've obviously bumped into something, you know, that has, you know, opened your eyes, as you just mentioned. You know, money wasn't everything. And then when you started focusing and shifting your thoughts and your own actions towards others, you started to see something happen. And I love what you talked about, you know, the conscious entrepreneur. And I think a lot of people, you know, out there would love to, you know, understand that journey that it took you to get where you are right now, and certainly we'll dive in on some of the you know, programs, some of the focus that's going on in your life, and I know you speak a lot all over, you know, the world, but let's chat about the beginning, and you know, where did this all come from? You know, what was your journey? Because I'm certainly interested.
Sure. So it came from pain and suffering, and I tell people all the time to embrace pain and suffering and to embrace hardship. Because the people I know that have had the hardest journeys, they walk away from that painful experience or experiences with three main things that seem to change people's lives and make them some of the most powerful and impactful people on the planet. And that is gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. So for me, I learned those three things through a battle with substance abuse, depression, anxiety, and even eventually almost committing suicide. Now that happened over a course of a long period of time for me. I started very early with self-destructive behaviors, and I was 11 years old. when I started experimenting with drugs. And being the entrepreneur that I am, not soon after, I started selling drugs. Why? Because that's the way I'm wired. I solve problems. And so that journey took me down a really dark path. Yet at the same time, I had a parallel life where I had great grades. I did well in school. You know, I had a great group of friends. I was very social. You know, did all kinds of things that would lead people to believe I had this great life. And that continued for a long time. But after a while, I couldn't keep up the both sides of that life. And so eventually I got to a place that was so dark and so ugly that I knew I had to make a change or I wasn't going to be around. I wasn't going to be alive. And so in that depth of pain, I found the energy and the willingness to make a change. And once I made that change and I got on that new plane and I started looking at how I could help other people instead of just myself, that's when everything changed. It's when life opened up for me, and the experiences since have been nothing short of beautiful.
How old were you, Bradley, when this, let's call it epiphany about what you needed to do and make the change? How old were you at the time?
26.
Okay, so you already by that time experienced a good 14 years of quietly suffering, without anybody really knowing, and obviously involved in, various drugs of sorts. And selling drugs and so forth. So 26 years old, what occurred, at that time? Do you recall, was it a series of things? Was it just this major, opening in your heart that, made that decision, easier? Share with, the audience, because I know whether they're going through a similar journey or, experiencing similar things, I think we all understand what pain and suffering is because it comes in various forms, obviously, through our lives. But, I'd really like to, understand that what happened at 26? What was that just major force that changed the path of where you are now?
I found myself in my apartment on my knees with a 1911 45 caliber handgun pressed to the side of my temple with no real desire to be alive.
That's a challenge, I think, that there's probably a lot of people out there that have been in that position, Brad, that either don't know who to talk to, don't know how to talk to, and are experiencing a situation that they feel that nobody in their world could possibly understand. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you had to go through?
Absolutely, and I've had that be an amazing part of the journey since. Is as I travel around the world with my business partner on both sides of the kitchen table, Gordy Buffton, we get a chance to share our stories, and we get a chance to be vulnerable, and it's amazing the sharing that occurs afterwards. We have we speak a lot to these organizations like Entrepreneurs Organization or Young Presidents Organization, where these are the upper echelon of entrepreneurs and executives. And as we know, being an entrepreneur can be a very lonely place, very lonely place, or just being at those higher levels. And so when they feel comfortable enough to see somebody get up there and they can let down their own mask and share, because we shared, the stories that I have heard, the tears that I have seen shed, the sense of relief of that burden, I mean, it's been, it warms my heart just to think about it. I mean, it's been one of the highlights of what we do.
Well, you've given Absolutely. Them permission. You've given them a platform where they have a voice, where somebody else that understands where they're coming from. There's that secret handshake or that relationship, between two men in a foxhole. And it's great to see.
Now, you were obviously vulnerable at that moment. And, I'm a true believer that vulnerability, and for a lot of men, we find it hard to be vulnerable, especially as you said, whether you're a leader in your organization or an entrepreneur, and you've got to, lead that, and you don't want to show your weaknesses, but, vulnerability is where you grow. And, that's the only time you can grow. So, bringing back, again, and I know you're, a very strong individual today because of all of those things that you went through, and certainly that moment in time. You put down that gun, and you know, what was next? Like, what was the first step after that, at that moment in time that, you know, you embarked on?
Really getting vulnerable, continuing down that path of opening up to people about what was really going on with me in a much more meaningful way, and being willing to accept help. I think for a lot of us in the entrepreneurial mindset, we struggle sometimes to ask for help, especially as males, but I think it's across the board for entrepreneurs. We want to,
sure.
You know, I can't tell you how many brainstorming sessions I've had with entrepreneurs, and you know, if it's not their idea, sometimes it's not an idea at all. And I've seen that
Sure.
hurt people in a very sure. substantial way, and I'm still guilty of it from time to time. Don't get me wrong. I got a long way to go, but it's certainly something to be aware of. You know, there's sure. a concept that I really enjoy and appreciate called easy, hard, hard, easy. So part of what I did around 26 was I went through a wilderness treatment program. It was called Open Sky. It was in Utah and Colorado, and I spent 90 days in the wilderness, basically with a backpack and a shovel. And so during that time, I found myself. I found a sense of community. I found what it really meant to be part of a tribe. But I also learned this great concept called easy, hard, hard, easy. So you can take the easy route, and it's going to be hard in the long run. Or you can take the hard route, and it'll be easy in the long run. And that being vulnerable and asking for help, that's the hard easy. We can continue to keep all these things inside and act as if we're invincible, and it feels easier, but ultimately it's harder. Because at some point, that pressure valve is going to give out, and you're not going to be able to control at what time that is. And most of the time, it happens at the worst time possible. It's when that big deal is about to close. It's when that big launch is about to happen. 9 times out of 10, that's when it happens, because that's when the pressure and stress is there. So I just encourage people to look at that easy, hard, hard, easy in their life, because it applies to everything. I mean, it's as simple as tying your shoes. It's hard work bending all the way down there and tying your shoes. But if you don't do that and you fall and break your ankle and then you got 6 weeks in the cast, easy, hard, hard, easy. These choices we make every day, large scale, small scale, it's very impactful.
Sounds like another one of our guests, easy to do, easy not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And certainly reminded me of that at the same time, Alan, as you mentioned, that our good friend.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter Turin. Yeah, Peter Turin out of Australia. Bradley, I mean, you know, sitting here listening and really, you know, connecting at that level, you know, trying to, you know, create that parallel in my own mind on the, you know, journey. Not that I had, you know, the same one as you, but I can remember certain times that it certainly felt that way. And, you know, I just, you know, at this point, I love what you, you know, made the choice. I mean, you made that choice to get that help. And I think that that's amazing that now you've turned it into something where you can help others. And tell us about that, because I know that's a big part of what you do now. And, you know, as you mentioned, your partner, and your partner name, his name is?
Gordy Buffton for both sides of the kitchen table, and then Dr. Michael Yuzinski for the Moderation Institute.
I love it. And, you know, you got both sides of the kitchen table. A great concept. Had a chance to review that, but let's let our audience hear about that and what, you know, this dramatic and crazy and very vulnerable time in your life had led to, because I think that's what gives people that feeling that, as you said, 3 inches, you know, from goal, something could just amazing happen. And that certainly, you know, was the case in your journey. So share that both sides of the kitchen table with our audience in terms of what the concept is, what you're doing with folks, and certainly we'll lend into, you know, your other endeavor as well.
Sure. So the whole focus of both sides of the kitchen table is to use my experience and my business partner Gordy's experience, having grown up with high-performing parents ourselves and having things not go so well towards the end, and knowing that our parents came from a place of love. They weren't, you know, abusive parents. They didn't have any sort of malicious intent, but ultimately some of the decisions they made and the way that we were raised had some negative consequences. Again, coming from a place of love, these aren't bad parents, and that's a lot of what we were seeing as we started doing more research into this, is that these high-performing families, there are inherent problems and patterns that exist that don't exist in average or low-performing families. Now, in an average or low-performing family, if your child simply graduates from high school and gets a decent job and doesn't go to prison, they're pretty happy. They're excited about that. They've succeeded. And with a high-performing family, the expectations, as I'm sure you know, are very different. And maybe rightfully so, because there's more resources available to support that child in being successful. But there's the expectation to get amazing grades, to be a star athlete, to have all these extracurricular activities. And then the parent's ego starts getting involved as well, because if their child isn't doing as well as Johnny down the street, all of a sudden the parents are doing the child's homework, they're saving them from consequences. And what ultimately occurs is there's a lack of self-esteem. Because I don't know about both of you, but my self-esteem came from failing, you know, falling off that bike, only to get back up and ride it again. If my parents never let go of the back of that bike seat, and I still got my training wheels on, and I'm 40 years old, what do you think is going to happen? There's no self-esteem because I don't have that life experience. I don't have that self-esteem. So we really focus on looking at those patterns, and you know, we have these five principles of realignment that really seem to resonate with parents and the children, and you know, the transformation we see, whether we're coaching these families or just speaking to them in groups or doing workshops, has been incredible.
Tell us about those five
principles. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the big one is connecting, followed by understanding, then patterning, empowering, and balancing. So connecting, you have to connect with the child, with your family, before you can get to a place of understanding. Because you can ask all the questions in the world to try and really uncover what the child's unique needs are or your family member's unique needs are, but if there's no trust as a result of that initial connection, that's not going to occur. Then once you have that understanding and you really start understanding what those needs are, then you can start patterning. What are the examples you want to set for your family? Because think about how often you find yourself doing these little mannerisms or saying these little things that your parents used to say. Do you guys do that?
The older I get, I find that becomes some inherent pieces, Or maybe I'm just more self-aligned or self-aware of it.
Sure, but it happens. And so it's like the little kid that runs into the school and starts using profanity and is like, "Well, where'd you learn that?" Well, Daddy says it when he's cooking or, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, they're paying attention. And so in order to really instill some of these values and character traits, you have to model them. You have to pattern them for the children because they're seeing much more than they're listening. So modeling that behavior and patterning that behavior and then empowering them to make decisions on their own and solve problems on their own and allowing them to fail because that's where that self-esteem is going to come from. So here's this problem. How would you solve it? And if it doesn't work, what did you learn from the perceived failure? Or looking each week, what is something that you failed at or didn't go how you thought it would, and what did you learn from it? Because what does that teach a child? It teaches them to embrace and understand that when something doesn't go right, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a learning opportunity. And then Absolutely. We get into balancing. So for these high-performing families, time is a real issue. How do you find the time to balance family and work? How can you include family in work? How can you include them in some of the problem solving that occurs within the workplace? Or how do you find more time in your business in order to spend more time with your family? So through a combination of those five things, you know, it's amazing. And you know, less than 90 days of coaching a family, we can just see this. You can't even recognize the family once we've gotten to even the 6-week mark, but at 90 days, it's night and day. So it's just a beautiful thing to see.
Fantastic. Alan, take us away.
I'm just writing notes here. I thought maybe you'd have a little bit longer, but that's why we're on it. I think I caught you on that last week.
You know, I'll give you I caught you a couple of times here. I can hear you pen scratching. I'm happy to help.
I'm happy to help. You know, give me a call after it any time. Happy to help.
I do have a question for you, and
this might resonate with the listeners talking about high performance families. Is it the high, and maybe this is just a clarification, is the high performance, is that because of the circle of influence, or could it be just the expectation of the parents?
Oh, both.
Great question.
The reason I say that is that, you know, I wouldn't say that I had a high performance family, from academia and from personal development and from the whole focus of creating something bigger than yourself. I had that kind of a family because of health reasons, and we had to pursue, and we had to be strong, and we had to endure. With my health condition and the life challenges that I had to embrace. We had to embrace that philosophy, but we came from a very moderate very moderate means, but a high expectation of success health-wise. And so I think that I got my success rate or my entrepreneurship from the experiences that I had grown up and still have with severe health conditions and how to overcome those and how you fail at those, but how you learn to live with those. And then how do you turn those into successes or into an environment where you can help other people? And so I guess that was just kind of a maybe an aha moment or a clarification for me, is that it doesn't have to be necessarily economic success or economic drive, but it could be maybe out of circumstance as well. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Cool. I want to hang on that 90 days success coaching rate that you guys have had. Are the aha moments that you see in the eyes of your clients apparent in the eyes of your clients at the same time that you see them?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say it depends. You know, some people are more self-aware than others. But no, I think it depends. I've seen both for sure.
And are there stages of those, stages of self-awareness? Maybe there's self-actualization that they're able to see and then build upon. I'm assuming that's kind of part of the process too. Once you identify and are able to create, then you build upon that. Is that a learned process you're finding out with some of these families, or is that an inherent trait you think because of the makeup and the circle of influence that family might have?
Again, it's both, and the what we find is just like an individual, families are so unique. You know, there is no cookie cutter approach to what we do, because everyone shows up with a different set of variables, different histories, different baggage, different, you know, challenges and different ambitions. You know, one of the questions that we ask parents, and sometimes we get the same answer from both, and sometimes they're different, but do you want your child to be happy, or do you want them to be successful? Happy or successful? And what does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if you're not on the same page about that, it makes for a very challenging parenting environment.
Right. Do any of your clients say, I want both? Or is that the goal?
Absolutely.
To have both? Because I would say, well, why do I have to pick one of the other? Can't I be successfully happy or happily successful?
That's where the definitions come in. Because a lot of times, especially in the early stages of the coaching process, that success looks very specific to the parents in terms of financial or specific achievements. But when we start to look at what success is in the eyes of the child and what their happiness might look like, you know, if your child decides to be a chef, does that mean they're not successful? What if they're the best chef in the tri-state area? Is that not successful? Right. Or what if they choose to do something that isn't so extravagant or isn't held in such high regard and doesn't have that sort of emphasis on greatness, but they're happy doing it? You know, if they want to be an artist, a starving artist, but they're happy, what's more important? Is that success to them, or is it success to you? And where does your ego stop and their needs begin? And
oh, there's a good question.
It's always a very – what's that?
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just said where your ego stops and their success begins. I think that's a big piece.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great point.
How old are the kids that you work with in the families? Is there a particular age bracket that you start from, or how does that work?
Middle school seems to respond really well in terms of where we can work with the children as well as the parents. Teenagers can be a little more challenging. We spend a lot more time with the parents than we do with the children themselves, and creating that sort of relationship where they can get on the same page as much as possible. There's some limitations mm-hmm. given the hormones floating around, but yeah, middle school seems to respond the best. And then some with the elementary school, again, it's more working with the parents than it is with the children. And just, you know, the earlier, though, that you can start changing the way the parent perceives that family system and the child's role in it, they're greater their chance of success.
Are the parents, boy, I seem to be monopolizing. Sorry, Chris. I'm on a
That's
roll.
Okay.
Now.
No, it's great.
Do the kids seem to gravitate towards the concepts and adopt them faster, maybe because they don't have as much baggage, or they're more interesting, or they don't have the expectation than the parents do, or the parents of highly successful and driven families more recluse and more withdrawn, waiting for permission or approval than to participate?
Excellent questions. It's funny that the parents tend to respond the quickest. So usually we start where we're speaking with, you know, the parents together, the parents individually, kids together, kids separately. And as that process evolves, the kids start noticing changes within the family. And some of them are not always so pleasant, because there's different expectations of behavior, and less BS is tolerated. And, you know, some of the, especially in some of these high-performing families where money is a big part of that family system, and they're used to getting everything they want whenever they want, and that starts to stop, then they start putting two and two together and like, oh, I don't know, I don't like these guys so much. And so there's this period of transition where, you know, the kids kind of rebel a little bit, and then all of a sudden they start seeing some of the benefits that come with some of that hardship, right? And we talk to them about that these lessons that you're learning through this discomfort are going to be huge gifts for you. You might not recognize it now, but you will. And some of them start to see that, and some of them never come around to it. But we still change that family system where they can start benefiting from those things over time.
Wow.
I've got a quick question, in terms of how do you facilitate this? Is it in a seminar? Is it with the family one-on-one? Is a combination of both? Introduce them, and then, you know, what the opportunity looks like. You know, share with the audience. You know, for instance, anybody listening in that, you know, has an interest in, especially, you know, both sides of the kitchen table, we'll get into, and I definitely want to talk about the Moderation Institute, because I think that's a fantastic program. But tell me a little bit of how that works, like what are the mechanics?
Sure. So what I've been describing the last few minutes revolves more around the one-on-one coaching, where we're working with the families. You know, we work with families all over the world, so very often it's done through Zoom versus in person. We're collaborating about once a week, where we're working through issues and challenges and setting goals for that next week. But then we also do a big part of what we do is spousal events. So a couple will come and we'll, you know, give a presentation. We share our stories. We share these principles of realignment and how they can start to get on the same page and really start to have some self-awareness around what their family system looks like and where they're going. And then we also do a workshop, sometimes within the spouse or sometimes with the family there as well, that's a family plan. So think business plan, but for your family. What does the next 12 months of your family life look like? What are the character traits and life skills you want to focus on collectively and individually? And how are you going to support each other in doing that? Because all these entrepreneurs have this business plan. They know what the next 12 months of their business looks like, but no idea what the next 12 months of their family looks like.
Yeah, and I think that is, definitely a high percentage of probability on the fact that, you know, most people have no clue on that family plan. Even thinking to myself, as much as I'm very much involved, I, you know, have this sort of vision, with the alignment and parallel to my business, where I'm going, what's it going to provide, what's it going to open up, but definitely just made me think about, the family plan being probably in a lot of ways more predominant than, just my business plan alone. So sure. I love that. Thank you for, opening up that epiphany for me. And that's what the show is all about, talking to the audience. Make sure you have your journals out. I mean, the fact is that we bring experts, and certainly, Bradley, you're an expert in this area because of your journey, the things you've gone through, and sharing those insights, those things that, unequivocally you had to go through, you learned along that journey, and now you're able to share with people, in your programs. If you don't mind, again, we talked about this prior, the show moves so quickly and we've got a lot to cover.
But it does.
Get into... yes.
I want to take a second, though, and compliment you guys on that, because it is unparalleled, the speed at which I feel like these shows go. The ones that I've listened to, it's like I listen to it and then all of a sudden it's over. And just like everyone else that listens to this show, there's not enough hours in the day, but I don't want to deprive myself of the learning that I know is so important to my growth. And to be able to listen to something like this and feel like it's over before it started and still walk away with all these nuggets, you guys are doing something special. So keep it up.
Well, that's a nice compliment. Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
It's a great compliment, and thank you for that. And, sort of moving along here with, all these things that are going, quickly for the audience, bring your journal, write this stuff down. What is the website that you can go to understand a little bit more about, the family dynamic and the things you guys are doing on both sides of the kitchen table?
Just that, bothsidesofthekitchentable.com.
There you go. Sweet. Beautiful.
Pretty simple.
Moving along.
Hey, Chris, can I interject something really fast? I'm gonna stick my neck out here, and this great, fantastic content and knowledge. Bradley, would you be willing to come back on? We want to ask you to come back on the show. That I hope that you're willing to do. And it's a leading question because I said I hope that you're willing to do it. We'd love to have you back on the show. But would you be willing also to do maybe some kind of a workshop or a seminar, an education piece, and maybe a promotion or recruiting piece for you and what you're doing with both of your ventures? We'd love to be able to help promote that for you.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking, I hadn't thought about this prior to the call, but, we can set up some sort of, discount for coaching or workshops and seminars for those folks that, mention the podcast when they give us a call. So,
sweet.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
That is a beautiful gesture, and thank you for that. And, and in fact, when you're saying that, Alan, we've got a live show coming up.
We do.
We're taking phone calls. And I'd love to line you up because I think this is serious business.
Yeah,
I think the whole point around, the family plan, the family business, if you want to call it, is so important. And I think a lot of people can learn from that. So we'd love to invite you to our live show that's going to be coming up. And we're just lining some dates and things right now. But we'd love to get you back on and have people call in and, ask any specific questions that they might be pondering in their head right now listening to this show. So really appreciate you giving away, a discount for your program on this show. Just mention it, and once it's posted, I'll make sure that everything is in there as well in terms of how they can get in contact with you and so forth. That being said, just kind of looking at the time here.
Time is flying.
But I definitely, yes, it is. And I mean, it's an interesting topic. And when it's an interesting topic, I think we get absorbed in, time flies, right? Time flies when you're getting educated or you're having fun, and we're having a bunch of all of that, quite frankly. And I just love listening to you, Bradley. You're a very well spoken young man, and you've got an incredible talent to articulate and walk people through. So kudos on that. But tell us about the Moderation Institute, because I think that we need to give it some time there, and just quickly before we get into some of the questions that we have particular on that, but we're going to move really quickly through to the rapid bold questions to get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll wrap up the show very soon. So tell us about the Moderation Institute, my friend.
Well, I want to throw an idea out there for you guys because I want to be conscious of your time and your listeners' time. Do you guys just want to talk about that on a different session to avoid trying to rush through that or create any sort of stress?
I'm happy to talk about it now.
Yeah. But that'd be awesome.
Well, how about that would be awesome, and we'll invite you back. So we'll do, and that's a great idea. Why don't we do part two, and it's going to be about that so you can really dive deep on it. But for the audience, so that they come back and listen to that show, just give us a, you know, just a 30,000 feet overview, and then we'll move on to some additional questions.
A little bit of a cliffhanger.
Sure. Yes. Okay. So here's the reality is that 1 in 7 people in the United States struggle with some sort of alcohol use disorder at any given time. That's a lot of people.
Wow.
I mean, just think about your immediate circle. Someone right now is struggling.
Yeah. I grew up with that.
Unfortunately, yeah, you know, and it's, you talk to anybody, they know somebody. And that's the ones that are aware, because most people keep this to themselves or, you know, are closet drinkers or you name it. But what we found, I worked in mental and behavioral health for the last 5 years or so, and was an executive in a rehab center here in Arizona most recently before venturing out on my own. And what I kept seeing was this lack of success. And there's some great tools out there that exist. But it's like having the most perfect medication for a disease or, you know, let's stick with a disease example. So you could have the most perfect medication in the world, but if no one is willing to take that medication or very few people are, that tool has its limitations.
Sure.
And that to me means we need to try new tools. And what I saw in the field is there's a real resistance to trying new things. So we wanted to try new things. And so we started exploring and diving into what are the other options used around the world. And what we came across was this thing called the Sinclair Method. And you use naltrexone, which is a medication, and you take it an hour before you drink. And what it does is if you only take it an hour before you drink, not every day, but an hour before you drink, it starts to impact the dopamine response in the brain and therefore the reward system. So you change your relationship with alcohol. So instead of it being this amazing, oh, this feels like Christmas morning sort of experience when you drink, it's like, ah, I could take it or leave it. And then before you know it, what we see is people go from, whether it's daily drinking or just over drinking when they do, to this different relationship where they can have a glass of wine with dinner, or they can just quit with ease because it's not the same sort of challenge as the deprivation effect. When you just tell someone quit right now, all of a sudden that's the only thing they can think about. So we ease them off. Right. Into a new relationship with alcohol.
That's awesome.
It's been fun and exciting and all about challenging the status quo, and the response has just been amazing. So
yeah, that's worthy of a whole show, no question.
Absolutely, and we'll come back to that. So folks, stay tuned. We're going to post when that'll come up, and you know, absolutely, Bradley. After we talk today, we'll schedule something up for part two. We'll make sure that people know when it's coming up. And we'll talk about, you know, this method and ways that, you know, people can deal with this. One of the things that I'm just going to throw out there before we get into the Rapid Bold Insight, and by the way, kudos and all the stuff that you're really helping people with. You know, this is real life. This is, you know, the stuff that I think a lot of people, you know, sweep under the carpet, kind of hide it from others. But as we mentioned earlier, and I mentioned it, you know, as you talked about it, Bradley, the vulnerability, you know, when you're vulnerable, you get to grow. And it's good to grow. It's good to change at those moments. So, you know, get out there and share with people if you're having some challenges and, you know, you need some coaching. Obviously, you know, if this resonated with you today, then definitely, you know, get a hold of Bradley and his team, and make sure that you get some help for that. But you know, the show, it just goes so quick. I mean, I have a whole list of, I don't know about you, Alan, but I had a whole you know list of things that I definitely want to cover off. So I'm glad Bradley's going to come back on, and maybe we'll just pinpoint some of the last show and talk about them. And cover off some other questions, but really get into, you know, this method. But I was just going to mention that, you know, I also had a challenge with alcohol. I didn't feel I was an alcoholic, but I, you know, drank a lot. I think that's probably what people think. And one of the things I tricked my mind, you know, just being, you know, trying new things, as you'd mentioned, was that, my favorite drink right now, and I joke all the time, is Perrier in a wine glass. Because
yep.
It gave me that method of drinking, but not having the effects, obviously, of, you know, drinking a bottle of wine. So that's right. One of the things that really helped me, and it sounds like you guys got some really cool things that you can share through this. So I can't wait to dive in. Alan, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you raise a very important point. In the conversation that's existed around alcohol issues for decades, is that people think unless you're, you know, a falling down drunk with a paper bag living under a bridge, well, then you're not an alcoholic. And most people aren't alcoholics. They have a unhealthy relationship with alcohol, but that doesn't mean you can fix it on your own. I mean, you're dealing with some real brain chemistry issues that are just going to keep knocking you down and knocking you down until you get some of that outside help. And for some people, they don't need that. They can just decide one day, I don't want to drink anymore. More power to them. But there's everything in between before you get under that bridge.
Yes, for sure.
Good point. Very good point, and thank you for clarifying. Let's get into some rapid, bold insights so that we can, you know, understand Bradley a little bit more outside of his business and the things that, he enjoys. So, Bradley, are you ready for this?
I believe so. We'll find out.
Let's push him off the cliff here and see if he can fly.
Let's push him fast.
What book do you recommend? Maybe something you've been reading or, you know, something that you've read that really had an impact on you.
Well, so the most timeless one, which I think is one of the best books ever, is How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's age old, and some of the examples are a bit hard to fathom for some of the younger generations, but that book was given to me at a young age and I think ultimately changed my life in a very, very powerful way. And then most recently, I would say Untethered Soul is a really good book around meditation and you know, being aware of your emotions and your thoughts and how those impact your life and everything that revolves around you and your internal issues and your external issues. I mean, it's fantastic. And meditation, hands down, just whatever your excuse is, there's no such thing as a bad meditator. Just do it.
I agree 100%. I love meditation, and I discovered that very young and kept it up through my whole life. And, you know, I just need it. You know, I need it now every day because I just love the fact of getting some solitude and you know, getting into things and having that feeling of peace. But what do you do for fun? What does Bradley do for fun? Probably all kinds of things, but what's your favorite thing to do?
Well, you said it well, all kinds of things. So I use my ADHD to my advantage, both in my business and my personal life. So it really depends. You know, I it kind of ebbs and flows. I've done some wood carving. I've played paintball. I've, you know, done hiking. I've done camping. I just mix it up constantly to keep myself engaged and stimulated and outside my comfort zone.
I love it. I love that you said outside of your comfort zone, always learning, exploring, and changing. What one piece of technology has helped you with your business as it had grown?
I'd say most recently, I really like ClickFunnels. Just because it makes it really easy to test things. I found that in business, I need to, you know, get my ego out of the way because I can think I have the best idea in the world and the market tells me otherwise very quickly. And if I'm too attached to that idea, it proves problematic. But what I like about ClickFunnels is I can test an idea and then test another idea and another idea and another idea within a matter of days versus taking weeks or months. So I've liked ClickFunnels recently.
Sweet.
Awesome. Russell Brunson, big shout out. What quote has had the most impact on you?
Wow. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. There is a Theodore Roosevelt quote that is quite long. Actually, I won't even go down that road. I like a Confucius quote. What is it? I hear, I forget, I see, I believe, I do, and I understand. And it's a big one that we use with these families because very often they're trying to show their child how to do everything. And until those children have done these things for themselves and learned and experienced the failures and successes, they're not going to truly understand them. So if you really want to impart this wisdom and knowledge onto your children, you got to let them do these things for themselves.
Great.
Well, Well put. And following up, what's your next bold move, Bradley?
Oh, that's a good question. I think coming back on the podcast, that's my next bold move.
I like that.
I appreciate your guys' energy, and I like what you guys are doing. And, you know, you guys obviously resonate and connect with the higher vibration idea, and I will go above and beyond to help anyone willing to help others. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic, and thank you for doing that. Hey, listen, Bradley, you've been you're just an amazing young man, and we really appreciate your openness and your willingness and the help that you're giving others, and just that warm heart that I certainly felt on the call with you and the connection. So we can't wait to get you back on, Alan, my friend. It's that time.
I hate it. I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but I hate it. I mean, this could go on for a couple hours and I would be just jazzed and ready to roll and not be tired at all. But unfortunately, we are at the time where we have to cut it off and make room for another. But before we go, a couple things. One, Chris, I love you, man. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do this show with you. Bradley, it's an honor to have you on the show. I love your transparency and I love your grit, and you're unafraid to be able to call it like it is, but then to be able to treat it like it is also. And kudos, hats off. We need more people like you in our circle of influence and in this world, because we're facing a lot of challenges in our world. And I say world because it's no longer just our community in the United States. We are a global community now with technology, and we're influenced by so many things. And so thank you so much for your topics today. But before we go, we always have one last question, and that is, what one bold move, what one bold act or challenge or charge would you like to leave with our audience today, something they can do today to make their life a little bit better?
I like the idea of every day do one thing you don't want to do, and do one thing don't do one thing you do want to do, and do one thing that you don't want to do. Did I say that right?
I love
that. Say that one more time.
Yeah, sounds perfect.
You got it.
Awesome.
Yeah, go for it. Did you want to clarify that one more time?
Sure. So pick one thing, find one thing throughout your day that you do not want to do, and do it. You know, rise above, use that grit, use that willpower, and do it anyway. And then find that one thing that you really do want to do and don't do it.
Don't do it.
Very good spiritual practice.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Full behavior.
Absolutely.
Control.
And listen, right back at you, Alan. Bradley, really appreciate you taking the time out with us today in our audience, and can't wait to get you back on. You're a class act, my friend. I love what you're doing. Keep it up. And, you know, any way that we can obviously support you going forward. You got some friends, here in Florida and obviously in Portland now. And we can't wait to do more. We can't wait to connect with you on different levels and obviously explore some other opportunities. But I have to say goodbye, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. Keep fighting the good fight.
I love it. Alan, have a great day. And audience, you guys are fantastic. If you have any questions, of course, for us or Bradley, email us at info@thinkboldbebold.com. We'll make sure we contact you back and get all the information that you're looking for. If you have someone particularly that you'd like to have on the show, by all means, let us know. We'd be happy to track them down and get them on the show for you to chat. And it wouldn't be a show without you saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.